What's happening, people? And once again, welcome back to Breakfast with Kovu here on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio. We are back in for another edition of the Interview Hour. I'm very excited to get into today's conversation because we're going to be talking to someone who I've been seeing their name pop up a lot of. I've been seeing a lot of music, again, a lot of kind of general activity, and I've been loving all the sounds that we've been taking in. We are live on the line with Man Like Folo this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good, my friend. I'm good.
Good to get you on the line. Good to get you on the line, and it's good to get into a conversation with you more than anything else. Obviously, you are a producer who works in a number of different sounds. You have a very sort of specific kind of sting to your sound in the way you put it. Do you want to talk me through your sort of early musical influences so people can kind of start to pick up a bit of a picture of your kind of musical background?
Yeah, of course. So I think my main influence is really grime and stuff like that, but video games come into a big part of it. So I used to play a lot of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and I know that doesn't sound like it's influence, but like the feelings that those games give me and stuff like that. So a lot of nostalgia is placed into my music. But as far as genres, I feel like trance and grime and stuff like that, a lot of hip hop as well. So
nice,
yeah,
man,
it
nice.
Just goes from one to the other.
Awesome, man. I mean, that's quite a cool kind of selection of influences to have, especially with that sort of concept of nostalgia. It's definitely something that's becoming, I suppose, more and more common in a lot of electronic music, that sort of throwback kind of sound. And it's definitely something I can hear when we've been listening through your stuff, obviously. It's a really interesting thing. Obviously, with the main sort of place I'm hearing a lot of your stuff at the moment is in within this sort of wave bracket, as we'll call it. Like, this seems to be the big sort of buzz term. Like, is this a sort of a genre name that you subscribe to?
Basically, when I first started making this sort of music, I was influenced by a lot of people like Young Lean and stuff like that. So their instrumentals and things was like really something that I found myself wanting to do. So when I first started doing that, I was making these beats and uploading them to SoundCloud. And then I didn't realize there was a whole genre called Wave. And those guys kind of like adopted me and put me in and kind of showed me the rope. Careful was one guy who helped me out a lot. And then as time progressed, I kind of found my own sound in that. And then there was another genre that's floating around at the moment called neo-grime, and a lot of people are bumping that in the minute, so that's doing really, really well. But as a genre, I like to see myself as someone who can go between certain sounds of music and you'll still know it's me. I like that to be the main thing of my like persona with this whole music thing.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's definitely something you can hear as well. As we were saying earlier, I definitely think you've got a really versatile sound, and it feels, to an extent, as you said, that sort of neo-grime sound, the wave sound, it definitely feels like these are all pockets you fit into really, really nicely. Do you want to kind of talk me through the last sort of, I don't know, let's say the year or so, sort of release-wise, and what you've been kind of up to as when it comes to actually releasing music? Because obviously we've had a bizarre period of time in regards to the music world, obviously no live events and things like that. So how's the actual production and releasing side been for you over the last year?
It's been hit and miss, man. I mean, when we first started the first lockdown we had, it was hard to, I was in lockdown, so I wasn't working, so it's kind of like get as much music out as possible, do as much merchandise as possible, release as much anything I can get profit out of. But that kind of takes away from the quality of the song, you know, your quantity and quality, the type of stuff that getting released at that time. It just never helped. So releasing things in order and having stuff, just having things ready and on time to release things helps a lot. So when you know you're putting something out, you know it's at the right time, you know it's at the right moment.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. That makes sense. And obviously, it's a very kind of interesting thing, especially in the sort of sounds you're working in. I feel they are very kind of visual sort of sounds. Obviously, there's a very kind of specific style to a lot of the artwork, a lot of the sort of videos we see as well. We have these really cool kind of almost sonic visualizers that we see at this point in time. How was that sort of side of things within a lockdown experience? Because obviously, it's all sort of digitalized.
Yeah, of course. I like that a lot. I like the fact that stuff looks like it's a video game or even ripped from like an old PlayStation 1 game or something. I really like that.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. I think obviously moving forward, then we are here to talk primarily about music more than anything else. And you've been someone who has been putting out some bangers recently. We opened up with a track that you actually sent over for us to play, which I'm really excited to talk about. It goes by the name Left. Talk to me about this tune in particular, how it kind of came together. And again, the influences behind it and themes and things like that.
Okay, so the vocal is basically an R&B vocal, so that comes up a lot in my music as well. I tend to use a lot of R&B vocals from classic tracks. The song itself is pretty chill compared to a lot of my other stuff, and I think it's very more matured than my older stuff. So going into this is actually a song that's out of my album that's forthcoming soon, hopefully next year. I'm still trying to nail down some tracks on that and get some collaborations from nice vocalists and stuff. But the whole inspiration from the song was basically, it's more like a love song, because I don't really go really chill with certain songs, but the instrumental was made first, and then I felt like a vocal was needed. The vocal doesn't have much concept about love, but the whole overall vibe of it is pretty like romantic, I think.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something you can hear in the arrangement. And obviously, on the sort of topic of an album being in the sort of works, how long has that been kind of going on behind the scenes? Like, how long have you had the sort of concept for an album on the way?
See, I've always dropped singles, and I think dropping singles is good because you get much love for that one song at the time. But I feel like because I've evolved now and I'm in my own sound and my own sound is like progressing, I feel like we should put that all into one space and have like 10, 12 songs where it's kind of a story and every song has a story to it. And just have a concept of like a whole package of beautiful sounds.
Yeah, I can hear that, man. I can definitely hear that. And I think, obviously, when you're putting together an album project for a genre that's, I suppose, as wide as this, or a selection of genres as wide as this, it must be quite an exciting thing to kind of sit down and go, you know what are we going to do this time? Where are we going to take things?
Yeah, of course. I've got a lot of genres that I'm doing right now. I mean, I've even made a bassline song with Babby. She's been like supporting me a lot lately, so that's done really well. She performed that, I think it was last week in London, and the reaction was unreal. And for me to see me being able to do different sounds and still have that area where it sounds like a solo record, that's amazing, because I've got drum and bass records, I've got dancehall records, I've got house records, I've got what people call neo grime and wave records. I just like to broaden my horizons, so you know, I can keep going, and then if a different vocalist wants to hit me up and they're like, oh, I really love your sound, I can just put my sound on their take of whatever they want to do.
100%, man. I mean, how do you decide what you're going to make when you sit down in the studio? Is there like an immediate kind of click of where you want to go, or do you just kind of see where things take you?
My girlfriend's always playing like Radio 1 in the morning, so when I hear that, I kind of hear what's going off at the moment and kind of challenge myself to see if I can make something similar to that, but with my take on it. Also, I listen to a lot of... I don't really listen to this genre that we make. I don't really go in to listen or go out there to listen to it, because I tend to... If I start listening to other people's music that sounds similar to mine, I can get inspired by that and then end up sounding the same as them. I think that's a bad way to go. So listening to music where it's old or even new, but particularly I like old sort of stuff where I can get inspired and understand and take bits from it, then I always do that. So a lot of inspiration from just listening to music on the way to work and on the way back from work, and then coming down and sitting down and then writing something.
Fantastic, man. It's such a cool kind of way to be, especially when you're looking at such a broad, I suppose, kind of spectrum of sounds, as we've kind of said already. We are going to get into some more new music next. Now, this one is a tune that I really, really like. It goes by the name Panic. Do you want to talk to me about this one, obviously the release behind it, and just the general sort of setup of how it's been?
Basically, so I think we was playing, I got a gig in Ministry of Sound in London with the Science lot, and I think the week before I played in Nottingham, and I already played all the songs all on release. I like, when I do my own sets, I like to play all my own records, because I've worked so hard to get to this position where I can play and show off all my records. I like that. So I sat down, and I think it was an hour before we were supposed to leave, and I wrote this song Panic before I left, and then played it, and it was like one of the best reactions from that record. So with Signs holding that event, it had to be released on Signs, I felt.
That's a really cool story, man, especially with you. So you made the tune on the day that you played?
Yeah, I made the tune like an hour before we left.
That's mad. Like, how, I mean, just from a kind of production angle, obviously you speak to a lot of people, well, at least I speak to a lot of people on this show, and they'll talk about sort of slaving away over tunes for sort of weeks and hours and days on end. Like, that must be, you must be quite kind of confident in the sounds you're making to kind of go, you know what, we're making this now and we're playing it an hour later.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. With certain, people tend to sit on stuff and try and polish it and keep it clean and try and work on it for hours and days, but I always see, like, there's more of a vibe in a record than having something really clean and polished.
That makes sense.
As long as the record, yeah, as long as the record has a vibe, it doesn't really have to be that clean and polished. And I think most of my records are done within at least a 3-hour period. Don't get me wrong, I'll come back to them, but the idea is fully there. and I will sit on him, I will tweak little bits like some people do, and they're like, oh, I hear for hours and hours. But at the end of the day, you just need to get it done so it's finished.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, man. I completely agree. I've always been a big kind of advocate for that idea of, you know what, just get it done. If it's not like, if it's not 100% perfect, like if it's not 100% perfect, it's most likely just you that thinks it's not there, you know, because you've listened to it so many times.
Oh, facts. Yeah, facts. Because you'll be playing it in front of friends and you'll be like saying, oh, this bit's not right, and they won't even hear it. So I've got friends that send me records and I can understand where certain things have gone wrong or stuff because they tell me. But the overall vibe of the song and the overall like flavour of everything, just... as long as it sounds good, man, it's good.
100%. No, I could not agree with you more on that one, man. On the similar topic, then, we are going to jump into this tune. We are live on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio this morning, just coming up to around 9:15. Really excited to get into this one. It goes by the name Panic, so keep it locked and don't go anywhere.
Leading the South's music culture, Trickstar Radio.
Welcome back, people, to Breakfast with Kovu here on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio. It's an absolute pleasure to be back inside the building once again as we continue to look through these conversations with different artists and sonic creators, as we like to call them, from around the UK and beyond. Today we're live on the line with Man Like Folo, looking through a bit of his discography, a bit of his background in regards to music production. But next up, we're going to be talking about the future. We just listened to a tune called Panic, one of the more recent releases, but let's talk about what's on the way release wise so what's in the locker for yourself, sir?
Obviously Panic, that's coming out soon. My album, I have a song with Babby, I've got a lot of collabs with Real Tears is a great artist at the moment. He's doing really, really well. He's one of the people that has just got his own sound, and everything he releases, you can tell it's him as well. He's got like, he can go from ranges of genres. What else have I got coming out? I've got like a lot of, basically, I like to do orchestral music. So I've got lots of covers of songs that you would hear in the club, but I would make them into an orchestral song.
Oh, wow.
A classical song and slow them down. Yeah, I really enjoy doing that. I've got, what else? I've got a few remixes coming out, but I've got like a dub pack that I'm going to be giving away for free just before the album. It's like a thank you. There's a lot of like known songs, known records, known R&B songs that I'll play so people can play them in the club. Trying to think what else. Let me just... I know what I've got. I've got a few more songs with Gasta as well. Yeah, I've just released this EP with Gasta. I think it was last week on Friday. And that's done really well. So the music video for that by Gasta as well is unreal. And I've got a few more songs with him. I don't know, man. I'm going to do a lot more sessions with our vocalists as well. That's one thing I want to do. I want to step away from sampling vocals every time so Spotify don't catch me out. And work with a lot more. So I can work a lot more with vocalists and progress up that ladder. And then who knows, maybe radio one will notice you one day.
Amazing, man. Amazing. I mean, it's really cool to kind of hear that direction. And obviously you've spoken a lot about kind of collaboration there. I'm assuming that's a process you really enjoy from the way you're very keen to get into it as much.
Yes, definitely. When I first started, it helped me out a lot. I do recommend if anyone needs struggling producing or finishing a track, reaching out for people to collab with, because you can always figure out how they do things and they will figure out how you do things and you'll help each other. But don't always collab. People want to know your sound. So if you end up going washing in and out of other people's sounds, it can be very distracting for the listener to see what they are actually going to get when your next song releases as a solo.
That makes sense. No, it does make sense. It's good advice as well. I feel definitely that sort of collaborative, almost like whirlpool. It's quite easy to get sucked into constantly going, you know what, I want someone else on this, I want someone else on that. But definitely, it's really good advice. And I think as well, you mentioned vocalists there, working with a lot more sort of live vocalists. Is that something you've done a lot of so far, or have you primarily just worked with sort of samples?
I mean, I've worked with rappers and stuff, but I think getting some female vocalists right now has become a bit more of an option. I've had a couple people follow me on Instagram after I released Cold Quartz, interested, and the door's open to work with some really big names now, so that's really exciting. I'm not going to say they are in case it flops, but I don't think it will. They seem really interested, and I just think they've noticed like the hard work, and they just want to explore into this sound a lot more, which is good, because this is what I want to do, you know what I mean? 100%,
man, 100%. And it's definitely, I think, well, everything I've heard from you definitely does kind of lend itself to having that almost, that vocal addition on top of it. There's always this kind of place where you go, the tracks slap on their own, but you know what, with a vocal, it could be even more explosive a lot of the time, which is really, really cool to hear. So moving forward then, we have only got you for a few more minutes, so I want to make sure we're getting as much out of you as we can. What's the very next thing that we're going to see landing from yourself?
hopefully the album. I've got a music video as well that's been done really nicely by a friend of mine. Found him like halfway through last year. It was found him on Instagram. He makes really good like PlayStation 1 emulated music videos, and this guy's done me a really amazing music video, and I can't wait to show everybody that, because that's like one of my favorite singles as well off the album, and that's been getting a lot of good response.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing both of those things. Just before we do round off and get into the final track of the day, where is the best place for people to find you online, such as socials or sort of streaming platforms? Like, where are the best places for people to find you, and how can they find you on those platforms?
Instagram would probably be the best one. I'm always active on that. I can't get off my phone. So Pholo UK, PHOLOUK. And then Twitter as well, quite active on Twitter. But yeah, I can't get off my phone and Instagram. My missus kills me for it.
We're all the same, man. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
But we do want to jump into one more tune just before we do finish off. Now, this one, M40A3 Memory. I'm hoping I've pronounced that correctly, because we had a little chat before and I had a feeling I might mess it up. Yeah. Perfect. We're on the money. Talk to me about this tune, man. How did it come together and what can we expect from it as the final tune for today?
Okay, so like I said earlier, nostalgia is a big part of my music and the vibe I want to create. So the word M4A3 at the start is actually a sniper rifle from Call of Duty 4. And it was my favorite gun at the time. So just M4A3 and memory kind of mean a bit. And if you listen throughout the song, if you know the game, you will hear little bits and samples from Call of Duty 4, such as like a UAV, explosions, and also a respawn sound from the gun game. So yeah, it's just a lot of video game bits in there. It's not like all cheesy video games, they're really subliminal. And I don't know, it's really one of my favourite songs on the album.
Amazing, man, amazing. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the album land. I'm obviously looking forward to seeing as much new music as we can, and of course the brand new music video. Dude, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the show this morning. I hope you've had a good time.
Thank you for having me.
Each and every time, bro. We're going to get into this one and then jump into today's edition of the Dub Shack Spotlight. So keep it locked and don't go anywhere, my friends. We're live on the big bad Trickstar Radio this morning. It's Breakfast with Kovu.